The great prophet Ezekiel tells the story this way. The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "O Lord God, you know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you, and you will and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live.' I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood on their feet, a vast multitude." Here ends our reading for today.
Friends, will you pray with me? Lord of light and life, Lord of beauty and grace, Lord of birth, of life, of death, and resurrection, draw us near to you now. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of each and every one of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Ezekiel's great story of bones. My grandfather would tell you this, that he had owned his farm since a young man, and the same barn, the same dairy barn, stood in the same spot for over 54 years. Now, to be fair, there on the windswept plains of Wisconsin, parts of that barn had been blown off, had fallen off, had come apart throughout the years. But he would always tell me that, "Brent, that barn has good bones. What is on the outside, what is on the top, what is above or below, it may come and go, but that barn will always be there because it has good bones." If you want to describe the strength of something, say a house, say a sailing ship, say this sanctuary. You don't talk about exterior things as beautiful as they are. You don't point to roof lines or steeples or masts. You don't highlight shingles or shutters or decks. Instead, you look deeper. To that which gives its structure and integrity, you say that it has good bones. For as soaring and as inspiring as roof lines and steeples and masts might be, as critically important as shingles or decks indeed are, they only soar. They only add beauty. They only stay together as long as the bones of the thing remain strong and connected. If you are looking for the strength of something, you look first to its bones. If you want to describe how deeply something matters to somebody, if you want to describe how deeply they feel it, You don't just look at smiles or tears. You don't measure it skin deep. You talk about feeling it in your bones. Friends, I know you know that winter is here when you finally feel it in your bones. And I hope this morning you might have started to feel something else in your bones as they came alive to the truth of spring. To feel it in your bones, the Cambridge Dictionary says, is to believe something strongly, even if you can't describe why. It is visceral. It is deep. It is unshakable. Bones. And Ezekiel here cries out that the bones have all dried up. They have been scattered. They lay strewn about the valley, bereft of all structure and strength. Those bones, they are inanimate. They are lifeless. They are unfeeling. They are dead. The people, Ezekiel laments, no longer are bound together in purpose or connection. They no longer point with their lives to the heavens. The people, Ezekiel cries out, they have lost their conviction, their compulsion, their belief in that which gives them purpose and meaning. Dry bones litter the landscape, and with it, the future comes crashing down. Oh, roof lines and shingles can be repaired. The skin can even be nourished and brought back to life with moisturizers. But what do you do when the bones of something have fallen apart and broken down? I still remember the first time that I saw that t-shirt. Its color was the exact shade of my grandfather's barn, a striking red. It was worn by a member of a prominent urban church. And on it, there was bold black print that read, "Partnering with God in the restoration of the world." I remember looking at that shirt and looking back at it and being somewhat annoyed by it, but yet being intrigued by it too. The critique was, well, they think mighty highly of themselves, don't they? Not content to focus on their own house or even their own city, they proclaimed that they were about bringing back life and vitality to the whole world. And it wasn't just the scope of that shirt that provoked my ire. It was how they were going to do it. Right there, they proclaimed that they were partnering with God. Not serving God, not following God, not watching as God does what God does, right? We have talked for the last couple of weeks that what God does is to bring new life from and even through the most dead of things, right? Like that water that gushed forth life in the midst of the desert. Or perhaps like unending life that somehow comes from this instrument of torture and death. No, they weren't content to let God do it. That shirt said that they were standing alongside. They were working together. They were partnering with God. And maybe it was that that person wearing the shirt seemed so settled, so calm, so purposeful. Or maybe it was because she had a smile on her face. But I could tell that there was an internal strength that was going on beneath the skin. I could tell that if they were bold enough to wear that shirt, there were some good, strong, alive bones beneath it all. This is a striking text for today. But what is so striking about it is not just that there is this valley bounded by hills as far as the eye can see where bones are littering the landscape. For anyone who lives in days such as ours knows that truth to be true literally and figuratively. And it's not even just that somehow they rattle back together again, full of strength and connection of life and emotion, for we are an Easter people. We are used to seeing God work the stuff of new life even in the most dead of places. Rocks in the desert, crosses set on top of the place of the skull, and yes, even dry bones in the valley. But it is how all of this happens that strikes me and that redeems that barn red colored shirt? Can these bones live? God asks the great prophet Ezekiel. And Ezekiel is no dummy. Rather than claiming it for himself, he humbly turns to God and says, "You know, O God, you know. I might think or hope or desire, but God, you know." And then, though, what happens next, what unfolds and stands out from this story like bold black print on a bright red t-shirt, is the very truth that we need to let seep into our bones today. Not just that we feel it deeply, but that it becomes part of what holds us together as persons and as a people. What points us to heaven even as it grounds us to the earth. What unfolds here in Ezekiel is a life-giving, restoring dance of the Spirit between the divine and the human, a dance of life and death, a dance of life and breath. God calling and commanding, and Ezekiel responding and affecting, partnering with God in the restoring of the whole world, if you will. There God commands, but it is Ezekiel who prophesies and calls forth the words, breathing life back into bones that had dried up and flown apart. That word breath, or ruach, is the very same word, the very same essence, the very same strength that danced across creation at the beginning of time and animated life. It is eternal breath. It is ongoing spirit. One of the truths we need to remember is that bones are living things. They aren't just dead pieces of scaffolding that hold up a building or that hold up our bodies. They aren't just one and done, built for the long run and then encased in flesh to be forgotten. Bones are living things. They are not only alive, but while the body lives, they continually replenish themselves and regenerate even to build new bone in place of old bone. But to do it, they require the stuff of life, blood and breath, nourishment and animation. Ezekiel here reminds us of that truth too, that this body, the one gathered here in Stockbridge, the body of Christ, as beautiful as it is, as vibrant and growing as it is, needs to make sure that our bones, our structure, that which holds us together, the bulwark of our strength and the depth of our feeling, that our bones get fed and nourished too. Or we will find ourselves right alongside those bones of Ezekiel, strewn throughout this beautiful valley of ours, with no connection, no vitality, no life. Friends, today when we baptize Meryl, it is not something that we just do to her. When we invoke the Spirit to dance above those waters, it is not just for her benefit. But instead, it is an act that fundamentally invites that life-giving Spirit into each of our hearts. It is an act that invites that Spirit to bind us together, to put sinews on the life of this congregation, and to breathe the life back into us that we might become even stronger. Later, when we welcome 10 wonderful and amazing people into our shared life through covenant and promise, it is not to make us look better or fuller or add on to the outside of who we are. It is instead to reshape and regenerate our bones. It is to so fundamentally accept their gifts, their journeys, their story, their needs, their breath into our shared body. Both are acts where we invite Ruach, that holy creating breath, into each of our bodies and to our collective body too, that our bones might be nourished. Both are things we do to nurture, to stoke, and to foster life. Both of them are things we do at the command of the one we follow. They are things that we do to partner with God in restoring this church and by it, friends, indeed, the whole world. Do I have any doubt in my mind that God's holy breath can bring even dead bones to life? No. But I also know this, that we need not wait to be dead to experience what God can do. Rather, we can and should and must allow that life-giving spirit to permeate our living bones too, that they might even now regenerate and grow. For did you know that when a bone regenerates, it is actually stronger than it was before? Can these bones live? God asked this church. Can these bones live? My answer simply is, oh Lord God, you know. Today, friends, as we baptize and welcome, as we pray and sing, as we encounter this ancient story, may we know that truth. May we know that truth of new life, not just here or skin deep, but may we feel it in our bones. May the Spirit, the holy breath of life, swirl down among us to give us the courage and conviction to respond to God's command, to prophesy and bring forth life, even as far as to the ends of the earth. Friends, I pray that it might be so. I pray that it indeed might be so. And now I invite you to remain seated and to sing about that beautiful gift of the Holy Spirit.